James Valentine on ABC Radio.
Today, we're doing Panel of the Ages and we are featuring none other than Geraldine Duke, presenter Saturday Extra RN. Geraldine, describe your cohort generation age.
Well, we... I'll just quietly dodge the absolute
immediately
granular specifics.
Immediately post-World War II?
Not immediately post. At the latter end of the baby boomers going right through. We've had good working... Well, if we've chosen to. We've had good long working lives. That's how I said that.
So you're beginning baby boomers. Is that what you mean?
No, like, I'm the end of the... I'm sort of middle.
Mid baby boomer. Melanie Tate, playwriter and broadcaster. Does that one
Hi,
work?
Hi, James.
That one works.
Great.
Hi.
Hi, James.
Describe your cohort generation, Ms. Tate.
I am on the cusp. I'm a millennial cusp. I'm not a millennial, but I'm on the cusp of it. So is it Gen X? So I am Gen X millennial.
Yes, you're Gen X millennial.
Do you have a moon rising in X, and but your star sign is millennial?
All my friends know that stuff. I don't, but I just turned 40. I turned 40 in 2020.
I think you can best be described as someone who's got an obsessive podcast about a country practice.
Yeah, that's the age I am. I've got a podcast about a country practice and Brides of Christ this week, actually.
Really?
So whoever's watching 90s television in their very early teens, that's my generation.
Anna Robertson is a clothes designer. Her label is known as Yevu. I hope I'm saying that right. Anna, hello.
Hello, James. You are saying that right. Thank you for having me.
Such relief. I've got Geraldine Duke in front of me. If I got it wrong, that'd be terrible. Anna, describe your generation.
I'm a millennial. I like to call myself a reluctant millennial because I'm sort of over the age of 30. So I think the over 30 millennials like to think of themselves as being quite different to the young 20-somethings.
Interesting. Reluctant millennial, a millennial cusp, and a mid-boomer. I'm boomer cusp. I'm classed in with the boomers. I'm born in 1961, so I'm classed in with the boomers, but I'm way too young. The Beatles was something my parents listened to, not something that I knew about. Not that my parents did, but you know what I mean. So we're all together. We're all going to talk about various things. We have a rich range, exactly. Anna, just tell us a little bit more about Yevu before we go on.
Sure. So Yevu Clothing's a social enterprise. We're based in Ghana, between Ghana and Australia, and we work with women who are from the informal sector, who sort of lack employment opportunities. We manufacture in Ghana, we design in Ghana, we use a lot of fantastic West African textiles and we sell to a global customer online.
Yeah, bravo. It's the sort of stuff I've always looked at and just felt jealous that other people seem able to wear that. It's like, hard too white to wear that.
That's what our monochrome black and white prints are for people just like you, James.
Thank you.
Not too loud.
Excellent. I'll take a look and see if there's a shirt for me. Anna, fantastic. Thanks so much for coming along. What a year. You know, incredible
year.
And I think it's had different effects on different generations. I think, if you're young, it's had certain effects. If you're old, it's had certain effects. Melanie, let's start with you. You a millennial cusper. What do you think it's meant for the 40-year-olds?
Look, my friends are all really in the midst of raising children at the moment. So I feel that it's really exposed the cracks of the patriarchal, heteronormative family industrial complex, James.
Okay. Can I just say that's the most ABC thing we're going to hear all day, even if we've got the managing director on. But anyway, go on.
So one thing that I noticed that a lot of my girlfriends in these so-called, heteronormative industrial family complex.
Is there an acronym for that?
I'm going to make one. Yeah. They tend to be either working part-time or freelancing as they raise the children, and dad is quite often, not always, off in a permanent job somewhere, etc. So that when lockdown came, it was immediately assumed that the women would give up their freelance or part-time jobs to look after the children exclusively. But the other thing I noticed, even in situations where that wasn't able to be the case, where mum and dad both had to really keep working financially, quite often the dad would have the study for his work and my friends, the girlfriends, would be out, doing their work on the kitchen table with the kids all running around and having to deal with them. So that to me was the starkest realisation, I think, for my generation. Yeah.
Someone describe that as like, you know, Dad has taken over the, you know, the lower half of the house. He's got a 3-screen setup. He's put a satellite dish on. Mum has her MacBook Air perched on her knees. That sort of thing. I think that's very graphic. Anna, what did it mean for you? What did you see going on with the 30-year-old?
Well, I mean, I was going to take a bit of a light-hearted approach to this and just say that there were less parties and less dancing.
Yeah.
I think that's probably true for all of us, though.
Yeah.
It's interesting, Melanie, that you know, talking about your friends with kids, because I think at the moment most of my female friends are expecting.
Wow.
And I think potentially, I don't know, I'm just speculating here, COVID has fast-tracked some of my millennial friends into sort of thinking about having families, because so many millennials seem a bit anti-family.
Yeah.
So, you know, less to do, more time at home, more time to think about having babies, I guess.
Yeah.
I also think, though, that, you know, COVID's really shown that millennials, I'm going to stand up for my generation, I think we're pretty resilient and we're pretty diligent. You know, we're health conscious. We absorb a ton of information on a daily basis. And many of us have been put in a position during this year where we're having to tell our boomer parents to wear a bloody mask. You know, so many conversations I've had with my parents and people of my parents' generation to sort of say, hey, look, you know, you guys are actually at risk here.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to admit it. And I think that we've kind of been put in a position where, you know, we've had to kind of face a difficult year, and I think we've done pretty well considering, especially considering how financially insecure we are as well.
Yeah. Okay, Boomer Doug.
I'm listening with great interest.
What's it meant for you?
Look, much more not what we've just heard. Much more communal life. I mean, I actually think for a lot of boomer types, and I mean, I sort of say this with slight embarrassment, so I think it's been a pretty good year if you haven't been ill.
Yeah.
I think that we've actually looked. See, it's interesting hearing Anna sort of say, "God, you know, why wouldn't you take more notice?" I think we're less pessimistic. I think we've had a sense we've taken a lot of the. You know, I think there's been a little bit of over panic around. I think the media has found it extremely difficult. I've been watching, even in this latest thing, the way that the tone of the reportage of the Northern Beaches cluster has been fascinating, and just how what you emphasise and the sort of real sort of almost cannot emphasise things are going better than might have been expected.
You know,
it's very difficult to
say
that.
3 new cases
yes.
overnight.
You know, borders slammed shut amidst great fears. Well, So I think that the boomers have probably sensed that it's slowed down a bit, and maybe that's been a good thing.
Mm.
Certainly, I think that.
I wonder if for older Australians, for boomers, it didn't really make that much difference. You know, you were at home. You've already established your life, all this sort of thing. For younger people, and I wonder if you notice this, I've heard from quite a few, you know, say, you know, 25 to 35-year-olds, that sense of a future being removed, that sense of sort of, I can't really take a risk now. That sense of, you know, whereas I might have just leapt off for 6 months to go and travel or something, I can't do that. Have you had that sort of sense, Anna?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think that it is really easy for the boomer generation to sit back and not feel totally affected by this. And I think that's where some of the conflict has come into it, because I think that the millennial generation and even the sort of Gen Zers have really felt COVID quite acutely. And I think the spontaneity that really kind of defined a generation that was largely childless and didn't have a mortgage and didn't have the financial security and, I suppose, the financial burden that the boomers did have, that spontaneity of lifestyle has been taken away from us. And, I say that coming from a fairly privileged background where I suppose personally I haven't felt too much of an effect of COVID, except for the fact that I was whisked home prematurely on a repatriation flight chartered by the Mormon missionaries from Ghana. That's a story for another time.
I think that's a play and a musical, don't you think, Melanie? Melanie, what have you seen?
Book of Mormons part two.
It's interesting from a financial point of view. I've been a freelancer for two years after working for the ABC in a fairly safe job for a long time. And when I took that plunge, I did it without ever worrying that my future would be okay. And 2020, I had three plays that I'd written lined up, so I knew financially I was going to be okay for my mortgage, etc., for the year, and that all just got pulled out. I have found it a really difficult year for that reason, and I think a lot of my friends who work in the arts and are freelancers, all those part-time people, have been the same. And I am very likely now, I think, into the future to get a media job for government or something like that.
Right. You know, not, are
no,
you?
Well, I don't know whether I'll have to if theatres keep being closed, you know, there's all sorts of considerations that, and I feel that as well, it's just made me personally a lot more kind of, not blasé, but realising what are the important things. Like, the important things to me now have become that I am able to pay my bills and see my niece and nephew and spend time with my friends and garden. Mm. Yeah. So it's more, I don't want that stress of worrying whether I'm going to be able to pay my mortgage in next month or the month after and et cetera. So it's made just things, I feel like I've always been very bright-eyed and positive about that kind of thing, and I think that this year has changed that a little bit. I'm being the Debbie Downer today, aren't I?
No, go right ahead.
That's
stay
absolutely
with
fascinating.
It. Panel of the Ages features Geraldine Doogue, Melanie Tate and Anna Robinson today as we explore some questions that, you know, of a range of questions and see if there's generational difference. Anna's in fashion, so I thought we might have a little focus on fashion.
Great.
When were you at your most fashionable? And I think this sort of pinpoints when the point in your life when you and fashion, you care about it, you know. Mm-hmm. There's a moment in my life, you know, I'm in a rock band in the 1980s, right?
Yeah.
And there's a moment in my life where I would get around in skinny black pants, ankle-high Doc Martens, long black coat and stuff. And, I mean, get around, like, I'm walking around the street in this. And a three-cornered...
James, that's still in fashion.
It's so still in fashion. but this part wasn't a three-cornered hat. You know,
a three-cornered hat.
I found it in London and I just went, that's cool, I'm wearing the three-cornered. I'm going back like it's done with Shakespeare, like I'm a pirate. I don't know if it was fashionable, but I was very conscious of my appearance.
Did you feel the fashion? Like, were you walking around thinking I'm the coolest guy here?
It's about the only short period of my life where I could get in anywhere. Turn up wearing that, straight in, buddy. Geraldine, when were you at your most fashionable?
I'm afraid I'm going to say, I think now. I enjoy, but just don't look at me today exactly, but I think that actually I'm far less anxious about how I looked and of course, I mean, I was very lucky sitting on fronting television shows for the ABC. Mm. I did have a wardrobe mistress, the wonderful Maria Petrosi, who must be absolutely deified. She took redundancy this year. But she would do fantastic things. You know, that business of trying to be glamorous, I find when you're on television that there is that sense in some way that you have to aspire to that. I find that actually quite sort of sits on me. So I actually love what I'm able to wear now. I feel much more comfortable.
How would you characterise your look?
I think I'm enjoying
Keaton,
the classics.
Diane Keaton?
The classic, shall we say, and the sort of... Yeah, like I think it's a smart casual look that I feel I'm getting better at.
Okay. When you were on air, were you irritated by constant comment about your appearance and your hair and everything?
Yes. Well, it just played into my... I mean, people don't... You know, they said, oh, no, but you weren't worried. Well, yes, I was worried about... You know, I didn't feel that sort of super slim, could wear anything mode, that just wasn't me. You know, I always feel I had to look to myself and be careful.
But such a challenge also for, you know, like, you know, the equivalent Kerry O'Brien can turn up in the same blue suit every time and perhaps change his tie. You've got to try and project the same gravitas.
Oh, yes. And, you know...
With women's clothes.
Oh, and it went... The various eras, like there was a time, in the 90s, when you had to wear a jacket. absolutely had to wear a jacket. But we weren't wearing the jacket with shoulder pads. No, they went right out.
Right.
But then we went to blouses. No jackets. No jackets allowed. You've got to come right. You're relating to the audience differently. Like, there's all these nuances that a good person who's reading the zeitgeist conveys.
And through all this, it's
you.
A dark suit and a tie for the guy. Right, Melanie, when did you feel, you know, I am rocking it. I am hip. I'm there.
I want to take you back to the autumn and winter of 2019, in fact.
Okay.
It's not that long ago. Ooh. It was just before all of this went down, James, and it was a special time. I'd been back in Sydney a year from Hobart, and I was constantly going to events. I was being invited to events. There were things, parties, dinner parties, openings of plays, and I felt so glamorous, and my hair was blow-dried, and I had fake eyelashes and fake nails, and I was signified. I was bright and shiny like a Sydney summer's day.
Beautiful.
And that was my most fashionable time. It was a glorious
time. How long did it last?
It lasted a good 3 to 4 months.
Yeah. And were you rocking the evening frock sort of thing? Opening night evening frock?
Evening frocks, fantastic high heels, really great jeans and blazer looks.
Yeah.
Fantastic fake jewellery from, stores that we can't name, but that it was very, very cheap. You know, $4 a pop.
Yeah.
Like I've got on now. I mean, it looks like it's $4. I know that. But I didn't know that back then in the autumn and winter of 2019.
Anna, I've always noticed. Because I'm a keen watcher of the Paris fashion shows, Milan fashion shows, that at the end of the parade, you know, Armani walks out in black pants and a black T-shirt. You know, I've always wondered whether they actually ever wear their own label. Do you wear your own stuff?
Not much. No. I'm sick of looking at it.
Yeah.
Well, look, the weird thing is I'm not a designer. I'm a business owner, and I think that's one of my pet peeves is sort of, I think women who own businesses that manufacture and sell clothing are always thought to be fashionable designers. Well, right. I'm not.
Right.
My interest is sort of in business and social enterprise, but, you know, obviously I've had to become a little bit more acutely aware of fashion over the last few years since I started Yevu.
When do you have to think about it? Is it when you go to talk to money? Is it when you've got to be, you know, publicly presenting the label?
Look, it stresses me out so much. I won the Women's Weekly Woman of the Future Award a couple of weeks ago, and figuring out what to wear to that event stressed me out no end.
No,
and
I
the
understand.
Irony was, I wanted to wear a piece of Yevu clothing, but what I wanted to order was no longer available because we'd sold out. So it was a good problem to have. I couldn't get what I wanted from my own business, but it sort of stressed me out. So I think being in front of the camera and sort of getting up and public speaking is still something that, you know, you want to be comfortable, but you want to look good at the same time. I think that's something, that's a balance that women often find hard to strike the balance in.
I found it really intriguing. There was a period in the 1970s when men were peacocks and wore green body shirts with a brown suit and a big purple tie and giant platform heels.
Bring it back.
And I'm just describing my geography teacher, you know what I mean? Like, it was just, men rocked this kind of look. And I feel like there must have been a meeting in about 1984, where a whole group of guys got together and said, dark blue suits, fellas, okay, from here on in.
Oh, you know, look, like, men in Ghana are still rocking their flamboyant shirts and
but
the big collars
fact,
and the wild shoes.
I think English men are very stylish, actually, much more than Australian men. Mm. And I've always been intrigued by, because even if you go to London now, I think the women look almost uniformly drab.
Right.
It's an incredible revelation. And the men look fabulous.
Yeah.
You know, very stylish suits, beautifully sort of cut, beautifully cut suits, very good shoes. If anybody can let you know,
I think, but
I'd
European
love to know.
Men, I think, you know, the same in Italy. You know, you go to Italy, you just feel I am pathetic. Come on.
They have
tailors.
What do they do? what do they do to make their shoes always look new? Have you noticed that in Italy? Everybody's shoes look new all the time. What's going on?
Well, they step off the Vespa and just walk to the restaurant. That's it. They go no further than that. That shoes had no work on it at all. What do you think is the main difference between your generation and any other, Melanie? Like, if you're a millennium cusp, what do you see as the kind of thing that characterises your age?
Oh, at the moment, I just think we're kind of battlers, and here I am being Debbie Downer again at the moment. But I do think that we're better off than the actual millennials and the people that go below.
So a bit younger.
A bit younger. I feel like we have at least got to a stage where a lot of us have established careers and the like, whereas, you know, this horrible time has meant that millennials and below are kind of floundering and not necessarily knowing what to do. Like, a lot of younger people in my industry in theatre have left it to study to be teachers or to go live in Lismore or something like that. And I feel like that's
can
where...
Can I just say we might be broadcasting to Lismore, and it's a lovely part of
How
Australia.
Lucky would you be to move to Lismore?
Yeah.
Don't you... No,
that's
seriously.
That's what you meant to say.
Yeah, no, I didn't mean it to sound like a spit out. I think Lismore's great. No, I actually do.
Yeah.
You know, and so I guess I feel like we're lucky because we're a little bit more established than before us, but we're not quite as established as our boomer friends. So we're a little bit resentful towards our boomer friends, yeah, you know, that
bit.
We're, yeah, because we
don't look at Geraldine when you say that.
I'm not resentful towards Geraldine, though. Of course, no, I love Geraldine, but you know, we are, you have generations my age in your family. You would know this. You would hear this at the dinner table.
Many generations in her family. What do you see as essential difference when you look at, you know,
real estate prices, I think, because you made me think, you know, you asked real estate prices. I think really, I just had a conversation the other day with my daughter just talking about, you know, who's moved back to Sydney and just sort of alarmed again about how it affects a range of choices they're going to make.
Yeah. Has she looked at Lismore at all?
I was just going to say that.
I don't want her to go to Lismore, with all due respect to Lismore.
Yes, go on.
I was robbed in Lismore once, I tell you. Somebody came into my room at night.
Oh,
and,
goodness.
Yes, I've
tomorrow,
never forgotten Lismore.
Lismore.
Never
but it was
thought
fine.
Lismore would be like that.
Tomorrow Lismore a celebration, can I just say.
But also rituals. Look, I think that... well, this will sound terribly sort of po-faced, I suppose, but I think one of the things I realise that boomers inherited, because we came out of a more stable environment, you know, we were like coming out of the drama of World War II and then the extraordinary sense of optimism of the 50s and so on. I've read quite a bit about this. I think we were given real systems for running our lives. And I actually don't think we passed them on terribly well to the next generation. So, and I often say to young women, look, if you get the systems okay in your life will be better. It sounds so tedious. Mm. So that sort of ritual observation, you know, even planning your meals, I mean, God.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it makes life a lot easier to then have your enough energy left over to enjoy other things.
Learning grammar. We didn't learn grammar. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Anna, I'd love to get some thoughts from you and your haphazard lack of meal planning generation, but we've unfortunately got to wrap it up.
Well,
take 20 seconds just to tell us more, to tell us again about Yevu and how great it is.
Well, Yevu Clothing, social enterprise made in Ghana. Check it out online. Get some party shirts for the Christmas festivities this year.
Very good idea. Anna Robinson, thank you so much for joining us. Melanie Tate, playwright and broadcaster. I hope we're going to see one of your shows this year somewhere and we'll all be able to gather there. Ms. Doug, thank you so much for coming by.
Pleasure.
Saturday Extra,
Happy
is it
Christmas.
On this week? You want to?
Oh, yeah, we're all through the summer. Best ofs.
Excellent.
Here's to Lismore.
Yes, cheers to Lismore. Geraldine Doug, Melanie Tate and Anna Robinson on the panel of The Ages.
You're with James Valentine on ABC Radio.